Beginning in verse number 1, Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundations thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege to enter into this house tonight. Thank you for the music tonight, Father. Thank you for the testimonies. And Lord, I pray that you might work in our hearts in these moments. We ask that you would just adorn yourself with glory tonight in each and every one of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Psalm 137, an unusual psalm. But as I look at this psalm, I entitled the message tonight, "Praying for Revival." You say, how in the world, as we read this psalm, at first glance anyway, how in the world can we put together praying for revival and this psalm? How can we do that? But if tonight we can see some application, if we can see tonight Babylon as the place of captivity, and that is exactly where our sin places us, is it not? Sin puts us in a position of captivity. It holds on to us. It imprisons us. And so we find here a parallel between the children of Israel who went into sin. God took them into captivity. And you and I, as we sin, we come into captivity, even as God's people. And so as we are placed in that position, I believe sense may begin to filter in as to what the Lord's, I believe, has for you and I here tonight. Though this is a psalm that was written because of that captivity and because of what had taken place, and was one that was written that, boy, you look at the last few verses there and you think, my goodness, here is a longing for the demise of their enemies. And boy, that'd be a very true statement. But oh, that we might long for the demise of the enemies that we have, and we speak specifically of the devil and his cohorts. Any and all sin is captivating. And any and all sin imprisons us away from the glory and the majesty of God. Thus, any life that we once had in Christ is but bygone memories. Notice verse number 1 once again. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we what? Remembered Zion. When we had memories of the way it was at one time. You know, there are many people, as they look at their life, that said, I used to, and I once was in a position serving God. I once was closer to God than I am right now. And thus they are in this position where they are remembering, where they're weeping, where they're not where they ought to be today. You know, every day ought to be more exciting for the Christian. Every day ought to be that which is a closer walk with Him. And anything otherwise is leading backwards, and we find ourselves in not too far distant if we keep going that direction in this place of captivity. Songs of joy that flooded our souls, resolve the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, they become that which are gone. They become that which is in the far distance, and we can't even mimic them. Notice verse 2 and 3 again. He says, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. There's no songs coming from with them. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they wasted, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. and yet that could not come forth with a willing and a wonder in their heart. And the songs that we would sing in this kind of place, they end up being mingled, really, with Babylon's influence. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And there it be for many of God's people today, as the songs that were once in their heart have become mingled with the songs of this world, and we have just a fleshly song unto the Lord. And what a horrible position for us to be in. I want us to stop and think about two things, really not too long tonight, I don't believe. One is living in Babylon. Babylon, the place of captivity. Babylon, the place where we have gotten away from God and we are imprisoned within what sin has done to us. And then I'd like for us to look at judgment on Babylon. And from that one, I trust that we might see what it means to be praying for revival. Living in Babylon, here is our captor and our captivity when we have failed to surrender to the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit of God for victory. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Do you believe that tonight? That's God's promise to us, that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. But notice it says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Even our faith. It is the world overcoming us far too often because we live in the power of the flesh rather than living in this place or position of faith, in this place where we're believing God. We're operating by sight rather than by faith in our God. And when we're in that spot, we're in that Babylonian captivity, and we are away from the mirth and the song that God has for our hearts, and all that we might find ourselves back into the place where we are living, not in Babylon, but in Jerusalem, if you please. In that which is the promised city for you and for me. It is not getting our prayers answered because we are selfish. It's in the position where we are there in that captivity. And rather than seeking after God for those things which are holy and mighty and wonderful in the lives of others, and having that intercessory type prayer, we're saying, "Oh God, get me out of this awful mess that I am in." And we're praying selfishly. And my Bible says that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our lust. You know, many times as Christians, when we're living in the flesh, all we're doing is looking at God as a great Santa Claus. We're looking at Him as one that we can go to and we can get this desire and that desire. And He is no more than somebody who just is there to provide our every whim. I've heard many a preacher say how God is obligated to meet all of our financial needs and to make us rich and the wealthy. And we have the prosperity gospel that is out there today. And people buy that by the tons. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not what it's all about. It's not about putting us first. It's about putting Him first. When we're putting ourselves first, we find ourselves where at? In Babylon, that place of captivity. And oh my goodness, how we need to have prayers that are for revival, not for ourselves. And here's another problem we have sometimes. And brethren, we need to check ourselves on this one. It's something that God's really been dealing with my own heart about. You know, we seek and ask God to bring revival, but secretly down inside we're saying, "Oh God, start with me, so I'll be the one who's the starter of it all." So everybody can look at me and say, "Oh my goodness, revival started Open Door Baptist Church and Pastor Springer, oh what a wonderful guy he is." That's really not what it's about. It's about God working in our hearts and bringing us to that spot where He is glorious in our lives. And it's not about us. It's all about Him. There's a horrible thing that takes place in Babylon because we as God's people, we understand there's some things that we can do. And you realize that in Babylon, when we're in the jail cell, when we're in prison, even in sin, we can seek to try to serve God. But here's an interesting thing. Every soul that we win to Christ in Babylon, they are born there. They are born there, and they're born as residents there, rather than that of Jerusalem. And we seek to win souls while we're living in sin, not realizing that we are birthing them into the same kind of situation. Or we reach people with fleshly means and wonder why they never grow spiritually. We need to be a people who walk by the Spirit and not by the power of the flesh. letting God lead us and direct us in all these things. But too often we are living in Babylon. But notice the last five verses here as we find the Lord kind of changing the tenure, the mood of the verses, if you please. For we find here that there is judgment upon Babylon. When our chief desire is Jerusalem, notice verse number 5, if I forget the old Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If our chief desire is Jerusalem and our prayer is for the destruction of Babylon, revival is near at hand. Please follow that. If our desire is for Jerusalem, if our desire is for holy living, if our desire is to walk with God arm in arm, if our desire is for you and for me that we might be in that position where we're beholding the face of God, and we begin to pray and ask God to destroy the Babylon that be within us, to destroy the things of this world within us, to really to bring judgment upon those things and ask God to forgive us of those things, my, what marvelous things might take place in our life. I believe real revival is asking God to remove Babylon. Revival is saying, Lord, I've got these things in my life and I've been in this position of captivity and this world and all the things that is involved with it. I am going to leave those behind. Well, we could talk about a lot of things tonight, could we not? We could talk about music tonight. Many people are captivated by this world's music. And the music that is being played today by the world is that which is fleshly. It's that which appeals to the flesh. And boy, it gets us all revved up. I mean, you can't even watch a movie without the music changing your mood. Do what I do sometime. Watch a movie without the sound on and see if you have the same reactions. Yeah. And you'll be amazed. But music plays a big part in our life, and yet we want to cling on to those things that pull us away from God. Yeah. We want to cling on to that which is not lifting up our God, not that which is really showing forth praise unto Him. And we need to give up some things, do we not? So we have that in our lives. We have all kinds of media today, all sorts of things that draw our attention away from God. And if it's drawn our attention away from God, we need to understand, oh God, remove this thing called Babylon in my life. Take it away. Remove it out of my life. And Lord, I give it up. Here it is. And allow God to do the work in His life. An interesting verse found in 2 Chronicles says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. And so while you and I are holding on to those things that are Babylonian, that which is sinful in our lives, and we're not allowing these things to be raised, as he talks about here, R-A-S-E, not R-A-I-S-E, to have those things leveled and cleared from our lives, then we're not going to be in that position of revival. Notice the last verse. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Now, quite frankly, that is very picturesque speech. Matter of fact, if we look at it in one light, we see that the battle is on and they are coming in and they're terrorizing the Babylonian people. And they're even grabbing their children and throwing them down against the rocks, and their faces and their bones and their bodies are being bruised and smashed. And yet, God is extolling this as being happy. And I believe there's a reason, because as we apply that to our lives, true joyous revival is when the products of Babylon are smashed upon the rock. And that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When those things are terrorized, when they are killed, when they are put to death, if you please. Paul said, I die how many times? Daily. And when you and I are willing to allow the things of this world to really to die and to be put out of our lives, how wondrous it is then, because now we have the opportunity to live. And so as these who were captive have their captors smashed before their eyes, now they are free to what? Return back to their homeland. And what a picture I believe God is giving to you and I here, that we have the privilege to return unto that position of homeland, if you please, into the Father's wonderful arms. He is always there waiting. Today's Father's Day. Aren't you glad He can be a Father? I look back to Luke chapter number 15, and what a picture we have there, the prodigal son. We have a young man who went out into the world, wasted his living. He's become a captive. He's nothing more than a slave in a farmer's yard, taking care of his hogs, slopping those pigs. I don't believe, maybe sheep are smellier to you, but they might be to me too, but hogs are about the stinkiest thing on the farm lot. If you got a nose for anything, you can tell if you went by a cattle farm or if you went by a hog farm. It's pretty obvious. Now, when I was a kid growing up at the farm, we had combinations. And you could tell the neighbors from the neighbors because you could tell if they had more hogs or more cattle when you went by their place. But they're smelly animals, and there they are. There he is in that position. But you know what we fail to notice sometimes? Is that when that son came home, the father was waiting. We have a heavenly Father that is always waiting for us. And if we notice the text there in Luke chapter 15, when the Father saw him, he ran to meet him. That is our wonderful heavenly Father that we have. Living in Babylon is no good. Judgment upon Babylon is that what is needed in your life and my life. That we might what? Be able to return to the arms of our heavenly Father. You know, rather than pray the world out of the church, we've brought it in. And we claim that we're doing it in the name of reaching people for Christ. But when people are saved in Babylon and they're born there, that's the kind of Christianity that we have. Babylon needs destroyed. I believe that what we need is some old-fashioned, I use the word corporate prayer, where you and I get together and we pray and we want to see God. As we want to see God, we're willing to pray and repudiate the sin that is in our lives and ask God to judge that thing and to remove it from our lives, that we might stand pure before Him. Holiness is walking with God and having Him work in our lives. I believe that God's people want revival. I believe God's people want and desire that which is the wonderful place that I'd call Jerusalem from this particular text. But there must be, in order to go back to Jerusalem, destruction of Babylon. What Babylonian garments are you wearing that need to be removed and cast far away, burnt in the fire? What is it that has its arms wrapped about you, that is keeping you from doing as God so desires in your life? So I think one thing we can do with it, and that's, Lord, judge it. Judge it in my mind. Help me to see it. And God, remove it. I want it out of my life. By the way, God does marvelous surgery. Hasn't lost a patient yet. But He sure healed a whole lot. Father, tonight we thank You for Your great and wondrous love to us. We thank You that You have so deemed that we can walk into Your presence. You have made it possible that those garments of Babylon can be removed. We can be set free. They can be destroyed out of our lives if we'll but repent and turn to You. Lord God, tonight we know that many in this room that went to camp had some things in their lives that they allowed You to remove. But Lord, no doubt there are other things. No doubt there is things they never even noticed before. And so, Lord, I pray that this matter of walking with You would be that which is a continuous process of seeking Your forgiveness and Your hand of judgment upon those things, to remove them, to raise them, to level them away from our lives, that we might walk closer to You, that we might truly know You as our Heavenly Father. Oh, thank You for that blessed place of sonship, that wonderful place where we can be in Your arms. Thank You, as the prodigal, we can come running back to You, and the hog pen is far, far away. And Your loving arms are there for us. Work, I pray, tonight in every heart and life for the needs that might yet be in this place. God, reveal them. May they be taken care of tonight. For I pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. I'd like for you to sit, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We don't have a musician tonight, and maybe that's good. But if God has spoken to your heart, there's an altar up here. If you so believe God is working in your life, there's something maybe you need to pray about, just get up and come while we wait.